It's that time. It's Wednesday. It's time for Snipes and Stripes on nofilter.net with my good friend Tim Peel. I love you, buddy. You're looking very, you got a new hat on. You're sniping and striping the new hat.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at you, buddy. I just came off the golf course, so I still got my golf stuff on, but I have my Whiskey in the Wild. My whiskeyinthewild.com, the best chocolate whiskey of all time. Buddy, how are you? That's one of my sponsors, by the way, so.
I'm doing awesome, bud. Great games last night. Looking forward to our guest, Kelly Chase, tonight. He's a legend.
Wow, what an amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks to you. Thanks to you for getting Kelly on. He might be one of the greatest people on the planet. He was an unbelievable competitor on the ice. We'll talk about some things of how he was on the ice and some of his stories. I can't wait to see how he battled on the ice and now how he's battling off the ice. But first, let's give thanks to our sponsor. Obviously, Bet Online is an amazing sponsor for us. The tournament is finally here, and Bet Online is your bracket headquarters for this season with the best bracket contest out there. Odds, lines, and info on every game and every round right up until the national championship. You can access most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime from your desktop or mobile devices and even track your bracket in real time all the way through the tournament. Head to BetOnline today and get all your action. Remember, use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's really important because we all know BetOnline, the game starts here. Let's get her going. What an amazing night last night in hockey. We had some really important games that we watched last night. Washington Capitals had a huge win. Philadelphia Flyers got a big point, and things have been just rolling along. And we're watching this unfold as one of the most unbelievable, I think, battles for these last playoff spot between some of the craziest teams that we thought we not even going to make the playoffs. Philly, we didn't think give them any chance to make the playoffs in the beginning of the year. Washington Capitals, throughout half the season, we didn't give any chance of making it. And Detroit was kind of a team that we were wishy-washy on. All of them have a chance to hit that last playoff spot. And, you know, we're looking at our screen right now, and it has the standings. Who's going to make the playoffs, Tim Peel?
You know what? I think Washington is, and I think Philly is. And I watched the Detroit-Washington game last night. I watched a bit of the Philly Ranger game. And I don't know. I just – something about Detroit right now – well, not something. They're goaltending. You know, I look at Washington. Charlie Sideburns Lindgren is taking over from Berkey. That's what they call him. He
played here. Oh, that's awesome.
They call him Charlie Sideburns in Washington. The teammates love this guy. They love this guy. And he's taken over the number one role from Darcy Kemper. He's playing unbelievable. He made some incredible saves last night. Something just isn't right about Detroit. And you remember like a month ago, they were on that run and it looked like they were going to be in the playoffs. I think it's going to be Philly and Washington now. I think Detroit's going to be on the outside looking in. What do you think?
Well, I think Philly has the harder schedule moving forward. They play the Rangers a couple times. They play the Rangers. They play Washington again. I believe they have Tampa, Florida, or Tampa. Their schedule coming down the stretch is very difficult. Now, you look at Detroit's roster, they have a little bit more depth and experience in Detroit, whereas Philly is not as experienced, and they're battling with the problem with their captain and their coach. Does that come into play? Even though last night, they played an amazing game last night against the Rangers in New York and still got a point. That shows a lot for me when a team battles like that, right?
Absolutely. You know, if you had said, hey, the New York Rangers scored 5 goals tonight, who do you think won? You'd say the New York Rangers probably won, you know, easily. But Philly, I'll give them credit because I didn't think they had that much offensive power. You know, they scored 5 goals themselves and lost in overtime. So the problem is in Philly is, listen, these guys haven't been talked about for a while. the five guys that are up on charges, but they lose their number one goalie in Corey Hart, and they're playing with Ayrson, and I forget the other guy, Torts, forgot his name the other day in the interview as well.
I love it.
So, you know, is that you might be right. Is that going to be a problem for them coming down the stretch? Because they're going to be putting all their eggs in this Ayrson, and can he rise to the occasion? You know, it's a tough situation.
It really is. And I think what's really even more important is John Tortorella's message about benching Couturier. Is it going to be a positive or a negative on the team? Is it going to make the team play harder? Because going into New York is not easy. And the way they played New York right now, I think they responded the right way. But will they continue to respond the way that they are with John Tortorella being as hard on their captain as he has been, which is normal John Tortorella's coaching?
It is. To answer your question, I think they will be for the remainder of this year. But if this continues on next year, it reminds me a lot of Mike Keenan and what he did to Mike Modano and what he did to different players that, you know, Brett Hulls of the world and so on. So, you know, that way of coaching, as we know, like it or not, is kind of a thing of the past. So I think for the remainder of this year, he's okay. He'll keep these guys, and a lot of them might be FU. We're going to make the playoffs, but I don't know going forward long term if that's a good thing to happen. You know.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, and obviously we know the West is pretty much already situated. It's just really jostling for position. The Golden Knights found a way to get a couple points last night, which separated themselves from the Blues. The Blues have put up a valiant effort, but I don't think they can catch Vegas. So it's kind of anticlimactic in the West. It's literally just jostling for position. But we always love this part of the season, and I think we have to talk about Ovechkin again really quick, because Washington's in this situation right now because of their goaltending and Alex Ovechkin. Neither you or I thought he would be at 26 goals at this point of the season. Not even a chance. I would have bet anybody he wouldn't have got 20. And all of a sudden he shows the true goal scoring and energy and gets his team over the hump. That's what superstars do. And now, can they continue this through the next 10 games and run it into a playoff run?
You know what? I'm just looking up here because, Dylan Strome, 25 goals. Dylan Strome is unbelievable for Washington this year. But you're right. I think Obi's got that. You and I talked about it in the past that the superstars should have that fire under them all the time. Sidney Crosby last night in a game that didn't mean anything had three more points.
Yep.
Right. So
I mean, we're looking at their schedule on our screen right now. In the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games, they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 wins, 1 loss, and Alex Ovechkin has 8 goals.
I know.
No. I mean, there's no question who runs this team. There's no question who the anchor of this team is. It's Alex Ovechkin. Can he keep this goal scoring pace up for the next 10 games and assure his team into a playoff position? Because if he does, he's going to be in the best position over the next year to break Wayne Gretzky's record, because you're going into a month of April where they're playing Buffalo, Pittsburgh. Those are 2 wins.
Yep.
Then they go Ottawa. That should be a win.
Yep.
Then they go to Detroit, which is going to be tough. Then they go to Buffalo, which you never know what you're going to get from Buffalo. Then you're home against Tampa, and then they finish Boston. And what's really crazy, what's really crazy is the last game of the season is against Philly. In Philly.
In Philly.
Right. I mean, that we could go down to another Brian Boucher overtime shootout to determine who gets into the playoffs and who doesn't. It's crazy.
Who did he stop that year against the Rangers? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Hey, by the way, Luke M in our chat says Buffalo is sweeping the Caps. Buffalo, the only thing they're sweeping is their stalls, getting ready to for summer to play golf. Come on, Luke. Let's go. Come on. They're sweeping the stalls. That's it. Looped
into the sauce early tonight. Mm-hmm. No, you know what? I'm with you. I think Washington's going to get in. You know what? We got to give a shout out. We said it a couple weeks ago to Spencer Carberry, bud. This is a new coach, and you know what? Good for him, because this is not the Washington Capitals lineup that we've seen in previous years. And they're also doing it without Tom Wilson, who is an integral part of that team. I think he's got 3 games left in his suspension. You know, he gets back for that stretch run. If he doesn't do anything bonehead again, he's going to help that team as well.
Is he a deterrent right now?
I don't think so. You know, that team's working as a 5-man unit when they're on the ice. I watched that game last night. They're getting tremendous goaltending. The D's playing well. Ovi's on fire. I'm excited. But you know what? Before we bring Chaser on, I did want to mention when you talked about the West, I would not want to play the Nashville Predators right now, bud. They remind me of the St. Louis Blues in 2019. They weren't even supposed to make the playoffs this year.
They remind me of the Florida Panthers of last year and the LA Kings of 2011. Same thing. Team that gets in the playoffs in the last day, although Nashville's going to get there, not in the last day, but nobody is. This team is rolling through teams right now. I mean, they're 90 points right now. They are in a solid playoff position, and it's scary. It's literally scary to watch this team play. And here are the list again on our screen. The Nashville Predators might have one of the best second half stats
yeah,
in the league. If you look at it,
Philip Forsberg is on fire. He's on fire right now.
By the way, you never hear Philip Forsberg. Never hear of Ryan O'Reilly. You never hear of Roman Josi. You don't hear about these guys anymore. You don't hear Soros. And it's amazing to me how a team, because of where they are, they're not in a traditional hockey market without big media. Nobody's talking about it. They might be the most dangerous team in the West right now.
You know how Nashville, you know what, this is going way back. You know how Nashville got Philip Forsberg? The Washington Capitals were on a playoff run. They were building up for the playoffs. They made a
trade. I remember this.
They made a trade for Marty Erat. Martin Erat back in the day. They flipped Marty Erat from Nashville to Washington, and Washington got Philip Forsberg. I think it's worked out pretty good for Nashville.
Who is the donkey GM or scout that okayed that spot?
Well, he's not a donkey. He's been very successful, but I think the GM at the time was George McPhee. So even the great ones make the odd bad trade.
So George McPhee was in Washington before he went to Vegas and made that deal. All right. I take that back, because George McPhee is a brilliant GM that did masterful things in the league and is a wonderful man. So I take that back as my donkey metaphor for George McPhee.
Hey, jeez. I want to ask you about something today. I know you were golfing today. Did you see this clown Andrew Berkshire from Montreal? He covers the Canadiens. And he did like an 8-minute video yesterday. He's trending number one, I think, in Canada behind Zach Hyman. And his video said, in essence, that the only reason that Zach Hyman scored 50 goals is because his parents were very wealthy And he was given opportunities that a lot of players weren't given. And usually he's a so-called journalist. Usually the journalists back each other. Elliot Friedman, all of them are like, this, are you an idiot?
This guy, whoever he is, I don't know who he is. I don't know what he's done. I don't know where he's going. And I don't know what he's trying to achieve. But he's an idiot. He is an absolute idiot that should never write another thing again and should just go into his room, turn off all his lights, and feel bad that he never worked hard enough to account for anything.
Well,
that guy's a jerk.
Well, I took a picture this morning at Bronson was skating at 6 a.m. So I had him up at 5 this morning. He's got school today. He'll be 12 in July. Kid gets up at 5 o'clock this morning. He's skating at 6.
What, 6 to 7?
So I sent out a message. I said, so in Berkshire's theory, if Bronson ever does anything in hockey, it's because he's privileged. Like, give me a break. Some guys want to work hard. Like, some guys work harder.
People like that are the problem in the world. They're the problem in the world because they think things are given to them rather than being able to work for it. That's why all he does is just goes and writes things. Because you know what? It doesn't take a lot to sit there and write an opinion. Why don't you get off your lazy ass and go do something that is constructive and physical that you actually have to put some effort into rather than saying something so stupid that you sound like an idiot and you take away from somebody who actually put in years of hard work to do something like that. Screw that guy. I hate that guy. But I'm going to bring on somebody that I actually really love and somebody that you actually really love and somebody that is one of the most inspiring people in my life, even though he beat the shit out of me when I played hockey for the Chicago Blackhawks. And he's one of your good friends too. And hopefully he's going to give us some good stories, but we still have to figure out whether he can work the computer and work all the mechanical stuff and the technology that we have. There he is. Well, Mr. Kep. Oh, by the way,
got somebody way smarter than you two trying to get this thing set up with Leslie, because I don't know how. I've been on this thing for 25 minutes. Peelsy's like, yeah, no problem. You just go on and set it up.
Hey, by the way, you can complain all you want about trying to get on the technology and all that stuff, but I can't believe that you are wearing Tim Peel's glasses. What's wrong with the Jesus, you guys?
He wishes he had these pink ones. They've been trying to find them for years.
Peelsy,
JR, when you leave these laying around, people bring them right back to you and say, hey, you forgot your glasses. You know, flat horn rim ones, they go, those might be my prescription. Those might work. They never keep these. They bring them right back to you.
Oh, hey, listen, Peelsy. We got to thank Tim Peel for bringing Kelly Chase on. These two are very close friends. We're all very close friends, but you two are very close, and I love the relationship. So, Peelsy, well, thanks for bringing on one of my favorite people in the world, man. Seriously,
you know what? It's an honor because I tell this story all the time if I'm talking at an event or whatever. When I first moved to St. Louis, I'm like, I don't know if I like it here. I don't know anybody. And this guy, number 39, took me under his wing, and I went from knowing nobody in St. Louis. He's the mayor of St. Louis, JR. He knows everybody, and we're going to get into the event that he's having soon. But, Chaser, I love you. He stood up in my wedding, buddy. That's how close we are. But I want you to tell JR and our listeners a couple stories. One of them you told at lunch yesterday, and it's that Garth Butcher story that I think I want to hear it again because I almost peed my pants laughing at it.
Well, actually, the story I was going to tell tonight, first of all, was a story of Timmy's like always got your back. Okay, so he has a few beers and all of a sudden he goes from 5'10" to 6'10". and we're out with a couple of my buddies. and they're my dad's friend, actually. And he was a great big oil guy that used to go out on the oil rigs offshore and run oil rig crews. Great big man. His name's Harley Dahlke.
And, huge.
We're huge man, size of a door frame, you know, just massive man. Anyways, this guy comes in, this ex-basketball player from the NBA, walks in, and he's talking to me for a minute. He said, you know, I just ran into your ex-wife, and I don't have an ex-wife yet, so I just said.
Yes.
So, yes. I said, hey, I said, and I immediately knew he was thinking of Twister. Like, people mistake us all the time. Tony Twist and I. So I immediately, I know what he's doing, but I don't want to embarrass the guy and say, and I go, and then so finally I said, actually, I know you're thinking of Twister. And Timmy can't help himself. He goes, oh, you guys are really close, aren't you? Like this, like he kind of embarrasses the guy. And the guy steps up in his lane and says, hey, keep your mouth shut. And the next thing you know, they're back and forth a little bit. Now, I'm telling you, this guy's every bit of 6'10", 6'11", okay? And I'm looking him in the chest, and I step in front of him. I said, hey, man, you can't fight with him. And the guy's like, why not? And he says, Kelly, get out of the road. And I said, you can't fight with him. And I said, if you fight with him, I'm going to fight with you. And if you fight with me, and I point over to my dad's friend, who's like 67 years old, and I said, if you fight with me, he's going to fight with you. You don't want him fighting with you. And this, and so by then we've got Timmy like away from the, you know, the fracas, you know. And the guy's like, he looks over and he sizes up my dad's friend. And he's like, I don't want any part of Chase and this guy. And so the guy turns around and walks out the door. He says, you tell that little bastard, I'm going to see him somewhere by himself. And the next time I do, he's going to freaking get it. So Timmy comes right over to me and he says, Cat, what do you say, Cat? What do you say? I said, he said he's sorry.
That's unbelievable. I love that.
I don't tell him anything. I'm going to wait for them to be out by himself someday and see if this guy walks up to me. He was talking about the Garth Butcher story. And JR, you'll remember when we used to fly on a commercial still. And you came in the league, we were flying commercial, or were you?
Yeah, we were flying. Yeah, we're flying commercial too. Yeah. Yep.
So we got stuck in Winnipeg one night, and we had just gotten Karamov, Prokhorov, and Korolev. And Garth Butcher was the captain, and he had all three of the fellas, the Russian guys, up to his room. And they went through that mini bar like nothing, right? Like
everything was gone.
And so Butch got down to the, and Butch was one of those guys that snored, who was the only guy that had his own room. He snored so loud, it was unbelievable. So he's downstairs checking out, and Brian Sutter's standing behind him in the line. And he's checking out, and he puts his, slides the tab, you know, you check on the mini bar. You got to check off all the stuff you've taken on the mini bar. Well, he just circles the thing at the bottom and just checks everything, and he's passing it to the girl. And the girl looks at the thing, and she looks up at him, and she goes, everything? And he's like, oh, geez, like this, you know, like, shut your mouth. Like, Brian Sutter's coaching, he's standing behind him. Honey, just take the card, put it on the cart. He kind of slides the card forward, and she goes, everything in the mini bar? And he's like, Jesus, get a pill already. Like, she goes, even the Alka-Seltzer? And by then, you know, Brian Sutter's kind of catching on to what's going on. So Butchie's, yeah, the whole thing. So he's just dumped everything in his bag, you know. Anyways, he gets on the plane, and he's got a little bit of the alcohol odor to him. And he's a veteran. So he's the captain. So he gets first pick. So he takes the first row behind first class. He takes bulkhead, window, leg room, sleep on the window. This is what he wants. He's the captain, gets first pick, gets on the window. As we're coming on the plane, he's already snoring on the window, okay, and loud, just roaring, okay? So this lady gets on the plane, and she gets on, and she's got her son with her, who's about 7. And there's Butchie on the window just roaring, and this kid, and this flight attendant's like, oh, my God, like, she's trying to figure out what. She's brought over crayons and something for the kid to draw with. She's trying anything, you know? Meantime, we're just howling. We're, you know, we got the card game going in the aisle already. A butcher's flying. And she comes over with the little TWA wings, you know, the little things that they clip on the kids. And she says to the kid, while Butch is roaring in midstream, she said, would you like some wings? And she passed the kid these little wings that you stick on. And out of a dead sleep and a roar, he goes, wings? Lost their shit because he heard chicken wings. It was the only thing he
heard. Oh, that is a classic.
Hey, you had some amazing teams back then in the St. Louis back in the old arena days. Our games together, the Blackhawks and Blues, were absolute destruction. And
oh my God,
who are some of the guys that you played with? Obviously, you played with Holly and you played with Otsie and you played with Cavallini's. You played with so many different people on those early Blues days that it was the Chuck Norris days.
Oh, yeah.
of that Norris division, and it was brutal.
Yeah,
it was brutal. How was it for you as one of the tough guys going into all these games? Detroit with Kosher and Probert, going into Minnesota with Churla and McRae, coming into Chicago with Manson and Peluso and all those. Like, what was Grimson. It like for you?
Grimson, yeah.
Well, it was funny. It was funny because you guys, it was different with you. Like, you guys at home, first of all, like it was back and forth with us all the time. You know, we'd win a playoff round, you'd win a playoff round. I mean, and no offense to the guys we got in the Butcher trade either, but we were in first place when they made the deal that we thought we had an opportunity to win when we had Scotty Stevens on the back end there and Oates and Hull and Shanahan. I mean, that was a good hockey team. We ended up, you know, making the trade and traded Courts and Momesso, Ronning, and Durkee for Butch and Danny Quinn. And it changed the chemistry a lot on our team, but they felt like we needed a tough defenseman in Butchie, and it changed it a lot. But of all of those teams, it's funny, you mentioned two guys on each team, Churla and me. There was a time where I went on a road trip, which was my first road trip, and I fought with Tenorti and McRae, not Churla and McRae. And then I fought in with Probert and Primo in Detroit, and then we came in and played you guys, and it was Wayne Van Dorp and Stu. And like Stu and I had fought all these times in the minors to start with, and which is actually when I wasn't healthy here and I was in the hospital one time, Stu woke up. I woke up in the morning and there's the big man, you know, this guy you fought. I played with him as well later on in my career, but there's the big man sleeping. He's sitting by the bed when you're sleeping, and I look over at him, and I sort of laugh because you know the brotherhood of your group. And I look at him and I said, "You bet. Here's your chance, man. If you're gonna ever thought you had a chance to win one, you're 0-11. You better get on me right now." And he started laughing by the bed, and he said, "I'm gonna kiss you right in the lips. And there's nothing you can do about it." But I remember seeing in the paper Van Dorp yelling at me, JR, and they were asking me after the game, what did he say? And this was, you know, in a St. Louis game. In St. Louis, and I said, I don't know, I'm not fluent in cement. And this kept going, right? And so they put it in the newspaper. We get to Chicago to play you guys. Now, I know, of course, this, the worst place for us to play or for your stomach when you were a young guy was Chicago Stadium, because the way you guys ran around for the first 10 minutes of the game, people talk about weathering storms. It was crazy. It was barbaric. And I knew I was going to have to fight anyway. And Van Dorp, in the entire interview, in the entire warm-up, is yelling at me. Street, you're going to get it tonight. You know, they got
it's coming again.
Grimson, and at that time, Wayne was a big, tough guy and everything. He had a huge head on him. Like, if you threw a punch in the same area code, you were going to hit that thing. It was so big. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have to fight with Van Dorp again, right? Well, he doesn't dress in the game. Keenan Healthy scratches him after warm up. So anyways, I'm thinking I dodge a bullet and I end up having, again, I'll get in a fight with somebody, Peluso or Grimson or Tony Hordachuk.
Yeah.
Well, somebody on your, you know, I have my fights or whatever it is.
Maybe Cam Russell, someone like that. Yeah.
Well, remember, what was it? Gate 3.5? Was that the
gate? Gate 3.5. Yep.
Okay. So we used to go out gate 3.5 to the bus. So I'm down the hallway a little ways because, you know, you didn't talk to the other team then, but I'm going to talk to, I know Charlie and I know Trent Yanni real well. And I'm going to hide down the hallway a little bit. I'm going to have a conversation with them where no one's going to see because, you know, you didn't talk to the other team, right? And I'm leaning down against the wall. And Wayne Van Dorp grabbed me right by the throat in the hallway and punched me right in the face. Right in the hallway at Chicago Stadium. Bam!
No.
I get hit with one. And Richie and Ronnie Sutter are coming down the hallway. And so the little coyotes jump right on top of them, okay? And then Stu Grimson comes around the corner. And Stu actually grabbed Van Dorp, Wayne, and threw him out 3.5 and said, "What are you thinking? What are you doing?"
Oh, of course.
When Stu Grimson's the voice of reason, boys, we got
yes. He's the voice of God. He's God's voice.
God for that at any event, I got punched right in the face for what I said in the newspaper in the hallway after the game by Wayne Van Dorp.
I've never heard that story in my life. That's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Shot my mouth off as a 20-year-old and got punched right in the face after the game in the hallway. You get 20 games for that now. Are you kidding me?
Oh, half yeah.
The liberals would be shitting themselves around here.
Unbelievable. Chaser, who is that scout that you always credit your career with? Because you're – what's his name?
Patty Janelle,
because the entry draft in 1988 – you had like 50 or 60 points for Saskatoon. You had 343 pims, I think, and didn't get drafted. Patty Janelle, was he the one that told the Blues to take a look at you?
Yeah, him and Bobby came to Saskatoon. And I had gone through the draft twice, so I was not even – I wasn't eligible, actually. Well, I guess I was, but they didn't need to take me. They could sign me. So they came and took us out to a place called Max's Diner. They took Twister and I out to dinner, and they said, we're getting pushed around by Chicago and Detroit, and it's going to stop, and you guys are going to be part of it. And they said, Tony, we're going to draft you, and Kelly, we're going to sign you, and we're going to offer you a contract next week, and we would hope that you would sign it. Do you have an agent? And I said, I don't have an agent. And so they said, well, get yourself an agent, because we're going to sign you, and we're going to draft Twist. And so that was in well, playoffs were starting in the Western League, and I got an agent and signed a contract with St. Louis, and the draft Twister got drafted by them, and we both came to training camp the same year, and that's when we started here in St. Louis. So,
was your first year in Peoria?
Yeah, first year we went to Peoria. It was funny because Brian Sutter told Twister and I after training camp, we had had a couple of rounds at training camp, and we had gone. Played a couple exhibition games, and so some of the older guys that were tough guys had had their fill of us already too on the team, and Twister kept saying, we know why we're here, and we are going to take jobs, and we I had to ask him if he had a fucking mouse in his pocket. I said, he kept saying, we, if you leave me out of it, that'd be nice. But in any event, he you know, we were in all these fights, and Brian Sutter told us to pack our stuff because we were going to Peoria. He said, you guys are going to get sent down, you need to go to Peoria and play. But before you go, we're going to make a stop. We're playing in Detroit tomorrow night. So you two guys pack up your stuff and send what you don't need on the equipment truck down to Peoria. They'll take your stuff to Peoria and what you need for Detroit overnight. And we'll keep you in Detroit and fly you the next day to Peoria. So, but we're going to make a stop in Detroit. They got a couple guys there. We need you to straighten. So it was Kosher and Probert.
Oh, great.
Twister fought with Kosher and Probert. I fought with Probert and Lee Norwood. And we went to the Pontchartrain, stayed overnight, and went to Peoria the next day. So we had four fights between the two of us in an exhibition game before training camp. And Brian Sutter was happier than hell, and he's sent us to the minors the next day.
Because you and Kosher
to the Pontchartrain, right?
Remember that place? Oh, yeah.
Chaser, you and Kosher were good buddies, so you guys wouldn't fight, right?
Well, Kosher and I were, I mean, we grew up together, and our dads were curlers. They curled together, and it was that whole group of us there. There was enough guys in the league to fight, too, by the way. You know,
right.
Like, it wasn't like
right.
I didn't have hands full with Probert or, you know, or Keith Primo or whoever. And so it was kind of, you know, Wendell and Joey, I just never, you know, we all grew up together. We played ball, fast pitch softball in the summer.
I didn't have the luxury of growing up with you. So I didn't get the luxury of getting the best of Kelly Chase. But there was a game in Chicago Stadium where I got absolutely jumped and beaten to shit.
You started all that shit.
Hold on. I want to hear your story about it, because all of a sudden we're playing. I do something that the team doesn't like. I'll let maybe let Kelly describe it. But all of a sudden, off comes the bench. I'm on the ice. On comes Kelly Chase. On comes Darren Kimball. And they both jump me at the same time and beat the tar out of me. And I'm 165, 170 pounds, and they just beat the tar out of me. That's when I learned to love Kelly Chase and Darren Kimball at that moment, even though they beat – what was going on?
Well, you know what? Actually, what happened was it's something that started initially, and I want to say it was with Keith Brown and – Glenn Featherstone or somebody, two guys that were not really ever in the mix, but it happened by our bench, and Kimball came for a line change. So I jumped over the boards.
I think I hit Bob Bassin right in front of your bench.
You crushed Bass, but then I went out on the ice, and I know because I don't have the puck very often, and I ended up in a hearing and got a 10-game suspension. I had the puck. I skate over the red line with the puck, and I just come across the blue line, and I shoot the puck on net when the whistle blows. I look behind me, chaos. And I look, and I see you, who I know you're kind of like scooting around trying to get away from Kimball. And I know you've already hit Bassin, so I'm like, I'm going to grab a hold of this kid. I come flying up the ice to grab him, and I get in the middle of it. We have this brawl. And we have a line brawl. I actually ended up with Michelle Goulet. So there's Larimer Goulet and JR. Not really fair with me, Kimball, and whoever.
No, it was so unfair.
Yeah, you should have heard Hull and Oates bitching, complaining between periods. So we're all thrown out of the game, okay, because we've had this brawl. Well, Hull and Oates now have got to go on the ice, and they know Anston, Crimson, Peluso, and Keenan's coaching, and he's pissed. And he was sending all these guys out after these guys. And, you know, Huddy, what are you going to do, Punch? Like, he's not going to fight with anybody, right? So he's just skating away. And at the end of the day, Scotty Stevens ends up fighting with Charlie. And Manson beat the hell out of Scotty. But
Scotty.
Scotty Stevens and all of this stuff.
That was an unbelievable fight. That was the St. Patrick's Day Massacre.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
So what ends up happening is, you know, so the next day we're in Philly, and I got to go to a hearing. I'm like, what am I going to a hearing for? Well, you left the bench for this altercation. I go, I was on a line change for Kimball. Well, because Kimball never came off the ice, they never suspended Sutter. Neither of the coaches got suspended. Charlie got a game. Stevens got a game. I got 10.
You got 10 games?
10 games. 10 game suspension. Like, that's like life back
then. Dude, you should have seen my eye. My eye was like welted. He hit me on the side. It was like
my wallet. 10 game suspension.
Well, I was just going to say it was.
$5,000. That was a shit kick.
100%. Oh, my God.
I'll tell you about Garth Butcher, what kind of guy he is. The next year, so that happened, and I went into the playoffs, my suspension. So I missed a couple of games against Detroit in the first round, and I got to play in the next year training camp. Garth Butcher came around and gave me an envelope at training camp. And I look in, and it's all his cash. I go, what's this? He goes, hey, listen, we appreciate what you do. And I just wanted you to know we collected from the guys on the team. And so whatever it was that I missed that I would have been paid, like $4,000 or whatever it was, which was a lot of money back then, Butchie had collected went around each one of the players and said,
hey, wow,
you make this amount of money, you owe him this. He sticks up for us every night. Get your money. They brought him.
Wow.
Which gave me the money at training camp. So that's the kind of guy he was. It was awesome.
Wow. That's amazing.
That is. That's Garcia. JR, I'm gonna go off hockey here, and our producer is gonna put up a picture. And I don't know, JR, if you know this story, but this is the Kelvington Hawkeyes in 1986. And JR, I want Chaser to read off the names of this baseball team. Go ahead, Chaser.
Well, there's on the left on the bottom. We're missing a guy, though. I think we're missing a guy. We're missing Killer Kaminsky. We got we got Donnie Clark, Warren Melrose, Barry Melrose, skinny Barry Melrose there with the red sleeves, Joey Koser, Eddie Seslak, Wendell Clark, Neil Clark, another one, myself, another Corey Koser drafted in the first round. Oh, no, that's Kerry Clark down by Don, between Don and Barry. That's the big shark who played 10 years in the minors, Wendell's younger brother. And then at the back behind Melrose is Brian Finch, old goat farmer, who was our pitcher, tougher than barbed wire. Warren Melrose and Mike Blosky, who was drafted by Philadelphia. He was a goalie. So we're missing Trent Yanni and Killer Kaminsky.
So you had you had Chase, Kaminsky, Koser, Melrose. What did you tell me once that was a work release program softball team?
Jimmy McKenzie said that wasn't a ball team. That was a work release program.
You don't have your yellow. You don't have your yellow bibs on for the highway.
Right. You know what's funny about that team? I'm not kidding. Like, we won every weekend. We won 8 weekends in a row. We won these tournaments, and people were coming to watch mostly Wendell because he was, you know, the Leafs' first pick. But can you imagine Connor McDavid saying to the Oilers, "And I'm gonna play a little fastball on the weekends. You know, don't worry about my ankle rolling over or anything else. I'm gonna play some fastball on the weekends." But we would go to the Chinese restaurant in town, and if we won $400 on the weekend, the bill would come to $399. If we won $1,200, it would come to $1,150. Like, it didn't matter. It seemed like the Chinese guy in town charges exactly what he knew how much we were going to win every weekend. Where are they? Well, Nina, let's see. The prize, $500. Yep. Charge him the full $500.
I love that line. JR, I love that line, though. It's a work release program.
It's a work release program. It's so good. It is so true, too. Hey, Chaser, I would be remiss to ask you, a couple of years ago, St. Louis won their first Stanley Cup. Yeah. And I know how awesome the fans are there. Yeah. What was it like? Because you were a big part of the team and have still been a big part of the team. What was it like there in St. Louis during that whole run and the feeling around the city when they finally got the job done?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And I mean, they've got 8 World Series, I believe, here. They've got a Super Bowl. The parade that we had was the biggest and the best. And Mike Shannon, who's not with us anymore, who played for the Cardinals and then sat in a lot of those parades with the Cardinals, said, "Listen, when they win in hockey, there will be nothing like it." And he was right. And the whole ride was unbelievable. I think the euphoria in the city, the excitement, it was such a relief. It was a relief for me, but it was a relief for so many people that they had got that monkey off their back and won. And then to watch the emotion around the cup, because you guys have all been around it. It's like traveling with Elvis, you know. But I there's specific things that I remember. I remember them giving us the cup, Panger and I, and saying, "Okay, we're going to go film just cool stuff. And we're just going to let you guys do whatever you want with it." And we set it down on the corner by a gas station. We had 3 accidents in about 3 minutes. And we realized, bad idea. Can't do that. So we took it to this Italian restaurant. And we put it down. And we walked away. And we just watched. They filmed people. And the reactions were unbelievable. And this older gentleman came in. And it was at Trotteria on the hill. And he looked at that cup. And the next thing you know, He walked away and he looked at it again and he kind of walked back away and Panger hits me and we're kind of sitting in the corner. He goes, look at this. And this gentleman was probably in his 80s and he was just crying. He had emotion.
No way.
So I got up and I walked across and I looked at him and I said, how you doing, sir? I'm Kelly Chase. He goes, I know who you are, son. And he shakes my hand and he won't look at me because he's emotional. And I said, pretty cool, isn't it? He goes, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. He kept saying that. He goes, you know, the last time I saw that thing, he said, I was a young usher for the St. Louis Blues and guarding the Montreal Canadiens locker room. And Jacques Lemaire walked by me with that cup in St. Louis because they had beat St. Louis 4 straight and they had won the cup in St. Louis. And yep. He was watching the door in the old arena. And he said, I looked at that cup and I thought I'd never see that thing again. And so if that happened with Montreal, it happened in the early 70s probably or the late 60s. And he was an usher. And here he is 52 years later or 50 years later. And he's looking at this cup and he can't believe it. I said, let's get a picture. He said, I can't stop crying. And then we eventually got a picture with it. But that kind of tells the whole story of what it meant to the city and what it meant to the guys. And that team, they played with such passion. But the best part about the team, they bullied everybody out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, San Jose couldn't have played a game 7. They couldn't have got on the plane and got back off. They could not. And you know, and that team was big and rugged, and they were tough. And those are the teams that win in the playoffs. And you can say whatever you want about any of the teams that you're watching. Small doesn't win. And when you get into the playoffs, and that's what happened, and what it meant to the city, well, there's just nothing like it. And that 19 team will be remembered forever. The coach, Greg Berube, he'll forever be the greatest coach that coached here. And they've had Scotty Bowman and Joel Quenneville. But they love Chief, you know, so that's what it meant.
You know what? I got invited to a bunch of events, actually like 2 or 3 days later after the Blues won the cup. They had an alumni tournament over in Illinois, 10 minutes from St. Louis, and they had the cup over there, and Chaser of course invited me. And after about a 3 or 4 day bender that I was on, my wife finally looked at me and she goes, you realize you didn't win the cup, right? Like the Blues won the cup. but listen,
you win by association.
But Chaser, I don't know. We you know, I know what's going on with your health and so on. And are you overwhelmed? Because I know how much the hockey community here in St. Louis loves you, but I also know how much the hockey community around the world loves you. And I want you to talk about the event that you've got next Friday, Puck Cancer. But are you overwhelmed by the love and support that you've received over the last few months?
Well, I think I was, because I think there was a time of, 10 days where I probably would just went missing. And then actually it was Stu Grimson who kind of gave me the advice. And it's one of those things where, you find yourself no different than you guys. You don't say no. People ask you to help. You try and do what you can to help, whether it's visit a kid or come to a charity event or just whatever it may be. You try and do your best to give to people. And Stu said, you know, you got to take some time for yourself and you got to slow down. And I think he was talking with my son, Will, who did a great job. The only guy my son that wouldn't listen to my son was Peelsy. He'd call me and say, I'm coming to the hospital. My son said, one of these days, I'm going to get old enough, I'm going to punch Timmy Peel right in the face because he wouldn't listen to me.
Hey, at least I brought you lunch all the time. Come on.
You did do that. He said, what happens if you leave the hospital today and there's a guy sitting on the edge of the curb and he asks you for a dollar and you don't have one? What are you going to tell him? I said, I'm going to tell him I don't have a dollar to give him today. He said, why don't you try that? I said, what? He said, why don't you try that once in a while? Why don't you just tell people, I don't have anything to give today? He said, because you need to make sure you take care of you right now, because at the time, you don't really realize what you're fighting. You don't mind fighting. Nobody on the screen minds fighting. You just like to see the size of the guy. And at the time, I didn't really know how big this guy was or how big, whether leukemia threw with his right hand or his left hand or whether he could take a punch. And I found out he does all of those things. And so you're overwhelmed by what they tell you that you have. And I can be honest with you. I have never looked up what I have on the internet. I swear to God, I have never looked up what the type of leukemia, what the prognosis is, or what the analytics tell you of the survival rate. I just have not done that. I asked the doctor if there was winning teams and losing teams. And I said, there's two teams, right? He said, yeah. I said, winning team, home, losing team. He goes, yep. I said, well, I'm going to get on the winning team. He said, I like the way you think. I said, listen, I can tell you there's 7,980 guys that have played one game or more in the NHL in 120 years. And I got to play for a long time and I wasn't very good. So if you're going to tell me that the odds are harder than that, then we got a problem. And he just smiled and said, we'll be okay. And so I've never bothered with it, to be honest with you. I never thought about it. I never really bothered with it, but so overwhelmed. I think I have a book here. I was starting to, it's funny because I started writing down the names of the people that have reached out to me, and I started writing their names, and I putting their names on both sides of a ledger, you know, like, geez, I want to try and make sure that I reached out to all of these folks in this book. And when I got to 600 names and all of a sudden I was on December 1st. I went in on the 17th of the month. You know, when you start writing down names and you've got them on both sides of the ledger and you've got 600, you know, 50 at a time on each page, and you're at December 1st and it's now wherever the hell we are, we're almost in April. How are you going to catch up? I can't tell you how many of them are in the hockey world. So the brotherhood of the hockey world is unbelievable.
JR, one more thing on that, just before you ask the next question is, and I'll try not to cry.
I don't have another question. My last entry is a comment. So go ahead.
But I just wanted to say, as much as this guy is been battling leukemia, I've been in that hospital several times, and he's not necessarily thinking about himself all the time. I can't tell you the number of times a nurse or a doctor comes in and says, hey, Kelly, would you mind going down to gives me chills right now. Would you mind going down to room 10-12? So-and-so would like to get a picture with you.
Yeah.
And a picture of your Stanley Cup ring, and Chaser lets them put it on and they get a picture, and he gives them a pep talk about how, hey, I'm going to beat this and you guys are going to beat this. And you've really helped out a lot of people at that hospital, buddy. I've seen it firsthand.
Well, I've been lucky. I've got great doctors and great people around me. And then on top of it all, too, I think we've got an obligation once we put on the skates or we sign that deal and we get to play in front of all those people to give back. So I don't think it's that tough a ask. And I think it's healthy for me because when I, you know, if you went in the hospital tomorrow and you did, you know, look, I took a Peloton in there and I did it for my own, like my own sanity. I didn't go in there to say, oh, I'm going to try some crazy new therapy that's going to help with, you know, my chemo go through me quicker or whatever. I just felt like if I took this thing in and stayed active and wasn't married to my bed, I was going to come out of there in better shape. And I'm what I mean by both mentally and physically. And they left me alone, but they also told the people, like, leave them alone because they're not the norm. If you take a hockey player in there and tell him that his shoulder's separated and or he needs surgery on his shoulder and he's out 8 weeks, he's in his head telling you already, you wait, I'm going to be back in six. He's already telling you that in his head, and he's not saying that, okay?
Absolutely.
I don't know I actually don't even really realize to this point what the hell I've gone through, other than I have a trial drug and I was presented with these two pieces of paper after the third round saying that it was in remission. And I went through round four. I feel like shit from round four. I got one round left. And once it's once it's done, I expect we go on and it's a story and it's behind me. That's kind of how what I expect to happen in my life. I might be nuts. Maybe I should have read up. Maybe I should be talking about things completely differently, but
no,
I just don't have that in my being.
No.
But Chaser, that's how you attacked life. That's why you got to the National Hockey League, because you didn't listen to the people. You just listened to yourself. You just listened to the things that you wanted, the things that you dreamed of, the things that you worked for, and you didn't let anybody deter you from the goal that you wanted, and that was to play in the National Hockey League. And then you get to the National Hockey League, and even though you're a fighter and you are a guy that can play the game and fight at the same time, you have accumulated a mass of friends and people that admire you and love you. More than most people in the history of the National Hockey League. And I say that with true validity, because I love you, and I know
I'm very appreciative.
You are, but you've earned it, and you've earned the right to fight for everything that you do, and you give to everybody, and you're selfless in that. And because of that, I'm really proud that you're my friend. And I'm so happy that you gave me a black eye back in the 90s because
I think it was
it was you. Kimball was a lefty. I get hit with a righty, and I'll remember it forever. But I just can't thank you enough for coming on with us, telling us such great stories. Your fight is our fight, and our fight we're fighting with you. And just really quick, just give us a little. Just tell us about your event in April next weekend, so that we can send it out to the people. Maybe they can join or send some money to help.
Sure. Well, it's. I wanted to have more than just a charity hockey game. I wanted to have, and you know, all of the guys that'll be there, all the players. So I wanted to have. We're gonna play two halves. I want to say, you know, Tony Granato is going through the same fight I'm going through. Brian Boyle has gone through it. Darren Kimball went through it and has been going through it himself for the last 3 years. And he'll be there. Troy Murray, who is another Blackhawk, who's fighting a different type of cancer, but has a fight in his hand. So I said, you know, like, I don't want to be like kind of the lone kind of make-a-wish kid. I want people to know about cancer. I want to try and plug some holes. If we're going to do this, let's monetize it. And so we got a great grouping of both athletes and entertainers coming in. And so, you know, our buddies, DB Sweeney and Coulier, will play on the team, and Dierks Bentley and Trevor Rosen from Old Dominion. Dierks Bentley will play on one of the teams, and Garth Brooks will coach alongside Tony Granato and Sean Payton, coach of the Broncos. He'll coach the NHL team, and Coach Quenville and Hully will coach another team. I thought Shanny was going to coach. It looks like he's going to play now. So he's going to play. I think, Chelly's playing and I know Eddie Belfour is playing. We've got a hell of a group of guys that are friends with a lot of the guys that are there. And the more the merrier. I think our chapter presidents meetings are going on that weekend in St. Louis. So for the Alumni Association. So there'll be 80 alumni gathered for this event. We'll have the Pipers, the Canadian Pipers, and be piped in with, and Glenn Healy's group will pipe us in onto the ice, and that'll be cool. Dierks and Trevor will sing songs of the half, which will be cool. Garth's going to make sure that he's in the VIP room for the entire after the game until we're done meeting everybody and taking pictures. So I think we just got a great group of people. The people have been so generous, and hopefully we can help. Look, it's come so far in the last 10 years just talking to people. We hope that we can fill some holes and make it that much better for 10 years down the road.
Okay, well, I was supposed to be in something next week. I don't need to say what, but I'm going to push it. I'm going to push it off a little bit, and if you'll have me, I'll come out, and I would love to join you.
I'd love to have you. I'd have you set up in 2 seconds, and people would love to see you.
All right, count me in. Okay. Count me in.
You're in. You want to play center or you want to coach?
I want to play. I'm going on the ice. I'm going on the ice. I need shin pads, elbow pads, and a helmet because I don't own any other equipment except gloves and skates. So that's all I need.
We'll give you waltz.
No, don't give me waltz. They won't fit me.
No, JR, is going to be an incredible event. They've
no, sold. I'm coming.
Over I think three. The whole Team USA is going to be there. I think between right? Dougie yeah. and Walt and Shelly and you, JR, the whole team will be there.
Okay, I'm coming. Awesome. I will be there. Awesome. I will be there. Awesome. I wouldn't miss it.
All right. Well, thanks, JR. Thank you guys for having me on.
Hey, by the way, thank you. It was amazing. What an amazing hour. Peelzy, thank you for getting Chaser on. I'll let you finish this off with Chaser, and I love you, buddy. And listen, you're the fighter of all time.
You know, it's funny that Chaser said once at one event we were at, he goes, I've hated every referee except for this guy, and I truly love him so much. He's treated me so well and my family. And I just, you know, we love you, buddy. And thanks for doing this tonight. You're just an unbelievable person and friend. And through the good, you know what, you can always tell a friend, JR, through the good times and the bad times. And a quick story, and Chaser and I laughed about this the other day. I said, the day I got released from the NHL, you know, Chaser's one of the first calls as soon as I get off the plane. And then at 1:30 in the afternoon, he calls me. He goes, hey, PLZ, I got some bad news for you. I go, you got some bad news for me. Have you seen the day I'm going through? And he goes, Bobby Plager just got killed in a car accident. Chaser goes, Bobby loved you so much. Bobby loved you so much. He thought he'd take the heat off you today in social media in St. Louis, right? I love this guy like a brother.
Well, Bobby Plager, first of all, you got to understand, Bobby Plager would have made that joke himself.
Yeah, he would have.
Yes.
And he was like my father, so I knew I could get away with saying that to you. I said, he loved you so much, he decided to take the heat off you here.
That's awesome.
Next weekend's going to be an incredible weekend for the alumni, but also – just the people that I've heard talking about it in St. Louis are so excited to come out, and you know,
Eddie Belfour. But I don't think you're going to see a bigger array of stars put together in one place in St. Louis in the history of St. Louis. And guess what? There's only one person that can put that together, and that's Kelly Chase.
Oh, wait a second. Back. Let's quantify this, JR, because I'm glad you said St. Louis, because you and I were both over at the Grammys there at the Chelios' deal.
Yes. Grammys. Yes.
I mean, I made anything like that?
No, I didn't. And I didn't want to mention that, but that's why I did say in St. Louis, because you are the Chelly of St. Louis, my friend. You are the Chelly of St. Louis. And I love you, and I can't thank you enough for being on here, buddy. So thanks again. Keep the fight, and I will see your ass next week.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to put on the skates now for sure. I have to play at least one shift now.
Yeah, you got to play one shift, Chaser.
Who's reffing? Who's reffing?
Who do you think's reffing?
Derek,
who do you think?
You're reffing? Oh my god. Derek. Oh my god. I'm definitely going to get a misconduct. Love you guys.
Love you.
I love you guys. Hey, have a great week. I'll see you next week. Chaser, buddy, by the way, I love you. Period. End of sentence. Another great edition of Snipes and Stripes right here on nofilter.net. See you on Monday for Snipes and Stripes Weekend Edition. You guys are the best.